I'm just going to read a story or excerpts from a story called Year of the Dog. You can... All right.
Craddock is the dog, by the way.
Oh, okay. Great. It's dedicated to you tonight, then. Okay. All right. Year of the Dog. October. It's painful running into a person the same age as you who has more talent, vigor, and work, and this happens in an art gallery. You appreciate that she always remembers you, but can't tell if her grin, persistent and crooked as that tassel cap, is in earnest. She looks down on you, literally. She is tall. Her jeans fit perfectly. Your jeans are cuffed. She doesn't ask how you're making money these days. That's refreshing. But then she asks, still writing? Which is somehow worse. It's like asking an epileptic if he still convulses. Like asking an art school alumna if she stresses about student debt. You want to kick her in the teeth, but shrug and say, yeah, here and there. November. It's too brisk to leave bed. Your friends are unaffected by the cold snap. They slurp faux. They mingle. They invite you, but you can't bear it. You take showers to warm up and to think. You masturbate, no longer desperate for climax, only for heat to rise in your body. You curl up with crosswords and burnt coffee. To stave off this year's seasonal depression, you aim to better yourself. You are terrible at crosswords, setting manageable goals, and having social couth. Accomplishing 2 out of 3 isn't so bad. It's something. December. Raid your roommate's closet and yours. Swathe yourself in the warmest things you find and empty the remainder of old granddad into a flask. You're heading to a show, the first you've been to in years. It's in a warehouse. Everyone rode their bikes here. You can tell by the girls wearing leg warmers, over socks, over tights, their long legs slick and glimmering like molten tar. They all have nose rings like you, or you have a nose ring like them. You may as well be 50. You may as well be dead. You're... Your brain says bolt, feet take liberties, leads you in and out of the drafty room several times as if looking for keys in your hand. Girls with rat tails, the colors of which recall every My Little Pony pony, glance at you. They think you've got dementia or took a wrong turn on your way to Whole Foods. But now, some old friends of yours strum songs you wouldn't classify as songs. You haven't seen them in a while. That was the whole point of coming out. So you stay, fight through discomfort, and drink quickly. The girls have stopped looking at you. They don't care about your threadbare Gap cardigan. They're taking nips off their bottles and staring dreamily at your friends, who look like an indigenous tribe with their face paint, feathers, and tambourines. You find this problematic, but who are you to judge? You buy the compilation tape and wish you could draw like the album art or draw it all. Even though side A is shitty, it reminds you of driving through blizzards, blasting louder than bombs from the tape deck. Tomorrow, you'll sip lukewarm coffee with a film of wild turkey floating at the surface and finish side A with the volume lowered. The B side is where your friends are. January. Things build up and melt. You might be forgetting how to live, but it's too soon to tell. Your nose and ears are plugged like you've been underwater for days. Self-diagnose a sinus infection. Apple cider vinegar is the holistic cure. You drink piping hot water with a splash of the stuff, pretending it's apple cider. Worry the concoction will peel the enamel off of your teeth. You read that somewhere. Grin madly at your reflection for the rest of the day just to make sure. February, the month of your birth. You meditate on previous birthdays. At 20, you rented a room out at the local theater and invited everyone you knew, about 35 people. 4 of them showed up. No one had ever seen the movie before, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. So when you asked people to dress up, they'd never seen it, and they wore black lace gowns and pearls. The boy wore a silk tie. Your hair was in an updo, and you smeared blue eyeshadow over your lids and wore fake lashes. You wore a dress the color of cotton candy, your new breasts spilling out with the aid of a push-up borrowed from your dorm mate. She thought you were trying to get laid, but you just wanted to imitate the girls in the movie. It was an awkward couple of hours. There were horrified looks. Your friends left the theater thinking you were a breast-obsessed pervert. You walked home alone thinking, so what if I am? You reevaluated your friends. Thanks. At 21, you threw a soul-crushing party for yourself. By then, you had better friends, and they came bearing handmade cards, bottles of Manischewitz, gin, and Baileys. You drank gin and tonics because it was classy, clear, and showed you had forsaken the Vladimir vodka-infused previous years. Excuse me. You were so hungover from the night before, you only stomached one drink before puking all over the kitchen counter. The new friends cleaned up and put you to bed. You can't remember 22 or 23. For your 24th, you shot pool and drank whiskey. You wore a bright white peasant shirt as if you were a part of an obsolete counterculture. You bleached the thing, craving more attention than usual. You survey friends about the age 25. The consensus is that it was memorable and a good year for the most part. They echoed sentiments of feeling lost and frantic, of falling for bartenders and musicians and punks who were bad for them. They shifted from job to job, house to house, loading their inherited furniture and IKEA staples into trucks. They crept over bridges to get to new temporary places. They threw housewarming parties to show their fabulous capriciousness once again. Here you are in Milwaukee on your 25th, drinking a sugary margarita that could kill a diabetic. You can't even finish the thing because you've had this sinus infection since January, and everything, everything hurts. March. Most things are trying to bloom. The magnolia tree is sick of being desirable just 1 week out of the year. It's clear her buds would rather give up and shrink back into the branches. They sigh when the wind blows. Take me, breeze. Do your worst. There is a man who only likes to sleep with you once a month, and it always falls on the week of your period. There are two benefits here. The first, you can keep track of your menstrual cycle without a calendar or the moon or birth control placebos. When he knocks, you know it's coming. The second is that it cracks you up, for it's not out of line to joke that you are desirable just 1 week out of the month. April. You run into an old boyfriend in Little Italy. He looks the same. He's biting his nails and blinking constantly, a trait you found initially endearing and not long after annoying. This is the third ex you've seen in 2 weeks, and you're sure there's no one left to meet. It's time to leave town, but your mother calls frequently and repeats, harsh-voiced, any farther and we'll really be up shit creek, even though you only live 2 full-length albums away and visit often. Moving across the country becomes more and more like getting a tattoo. By the time you decide to do it, you'll be too old for it. May. You need a new mattress. The full is compounding your loneliness, so you're considering downsizing. A twin will fit easily up the stairs. It will leave more space for doing stuff as opposed to sleeping stuff. Given your proclivity, any man that lands in your bed will naturally be slight, so why go bigger? True. A twin also demands snuggling, but it will leave less room for books, which are more often your nocturnal companions and typically more satisfying ones. June. It's too hot to even lift a glass of water to your mouth. It's just not enough of what you want. You're aware of how bad this confession sounds. At least you have that. When he says, quit all your self-loathing, you say, can't. It's like my resting heartbeat. July. You're so lonely your teeth hurt. They yearn for awkward collisions with teeth and likewise lonely mouths. As if there is suddenly order in the universe, you burn your tongue so badly you can't taste for days. You are prey to the senseless. As soon as you've got feeling back, you eat meat and regret it, like always. You're just going to shit it out anyway. Why consume something that had a brain? Because you craved it. Is that enough? Who do you arm by eating a chocolate bar? You think it's a wonderful privilege to feel so impactful. August. Sometimes, you've got to go on hunger strike to write something decent. And when you feel faint and too weak to stand, you'll sit at the kitchen table and cut the veins from kale. Toss the greens into a metal mixing bowl with pepper and a hard-boiled egg. Dress it with apple cider vinegar. You'll eat slowly because you're enjoying something and weren't sure you would again. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Joe.